Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We hope you're having a fantastic Monday out there. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to have some fun coming up for you. We're going to get in entertainment news, talk a little bit later about some other fun things. But we kick off the Monday 9 o'clock hour the way we like to around here with the kitchens open.
Tell me something good.
Good morning and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR for this Monday, March 24th. It's National Cheesesteak Day. As someone who spent a significant amount of her life in Pennsylvania, I will tell you that cheesesteaks are for us the way old fashions are for Wisconsinites. You just can't seem to find a good one outside of the state.
Now, hold on just a minute here. I've had steak at restaurants in the area that tastes delicious with blue cheese crumble on top.
Seth, that's not the cheesesteak we're talking about here. Oh. Although I did order a cheesesteak at a restaurant while traveling one time, and they served me a ribeye steak with a slice of cheese melted on top on a bun.
Well, I mean, technically it was a cheesed steak.
Well, technically that's true, but that's not a true Philadelphia cheesesteak. A Philly cheesesteak is made with chopped beef sauteed on a griddle with provolone cheese melted into it. You can have it with or without onions.
Nice.
Which have been grilled on that same griddle, so they pick up some of that grease and flavor from the beef. Then it's scooped into a hoagie roll, and yes, they are called hoagie rolls out there.
Okay, all right.
And some places even add a bit of marinara sauce over it.
That's true.
Don't they have those at restaurants in the area?
Well, yes, but they don't always taste the same thing. And they're good. They just, there's something about one that you have in Philadelphia or the East area of Pennsylvania, and it adds something special to it.
Now, having been out there with you a few times, and so, you know, when you ask people, it's like James in Chicago, you know, where's the best hot dog or Italian beef or whatever, you know, because it's famous for that. In East Pennsylvania, not just Philadelphia, they all have their own style of cheesesteak. And so what's the name of the place in Bethlehem?
Carl's Corner.
Carl's Corner, which I've been to. And Beth, what's a little bit different? What's the special thing that they do there?
I think for them, it's the marinara sauce.
Okay.
So there's just something about how they do it. And and they also serve them with pierogies. So, you know, you get your cheesesteak and you get your pierogies and you sit down and you just, and of course, you know, in true Philly fashion, you have to lean forward because all of the juice is going to drip right out of that bun.
I've only had one Philly cheesesteak in my life, in part because growing up, my papa, who was a semi-driver and traveled this country quite a bit doing that, one of the things that he would do was he would be adamant about food. And in certain foods, he was only going to eat in certain places.
Sure.
So unless he was literally in the state of Philadelphia, he was not having a cheesesteak.
Right.
And he wasn't there very often. So that's the only time he would do it.
Exactly. Every time I go back to that area for meetings or to visit family, I have to go to Carl's Corner and get myself a cheesesteak.
And I think this is one of my, I thought about this a little bit overnight after seeing your outline, Beth. This is one of my favorite things about this country. Not just certain on the East Coast, the West Coast, down South, that kind of thing. I mean, even just getting down to local levels of things, state by state or city by city, we have these things that make we're proud of or that we love or covet, that this is ours. And so often, and it has to do with the type of food or the way we serve a food. We've talked before about barbecue and the battle of the barbecue sauces and who has the best one, Kansas City or South Carolina or some of these things. I just love that about our country. There's no wrong answers. That's the other part of this, too, that I think is fun.
Right.
And this one is one that I didn't know that much about, Beth, but you really did some digging on this.
I did. And it's kind of like brats are in Wisconsin. You want a good regional brat. Mm-hmm. You can have them anywhere you go. There's just something about having the brats in Wisconsin that makes it special. My opinion may be a little, to find a good cheesesteak in eastern Pennsylvania may be a little bit controversial, but that just kind of goes along with the sandwich itself.
Okay, so what exactly do you mean by that?
Well, there are two restaurants right across the street from each other in Philadelphia who both take credit for having the best cheesesteak in Philadelphia. One of them is Pat's and the others is Gino's, and they are actually right across the street from each other.
That's awesome.
There's a great article in the Philadelphia Magazine's website, phillymag.com, titled The Oral History of the Cheesesteak, Everything You Need to Know About the Sandwich, What We Can't Live With or Without, in which owners of famous cheesesteak places in the city were interviewed to tell the story of how it came about. So the owner of Pat's King of Steaks, Frank Oliveri, I need my Italian expert over here. I'm sorry, what?
Oliveri
tells how the sandwich came to be. He says, my great uncle Pat, that was my grandfather's older brother, he had a hot dog stand he opened around 1930. The neighborhood was always busy with one of the country's first open-air markets, that's the Italian market, a block away. The workers would line up, he would sell them hot dogs off his little cart, and then one day, Pat wanted something different for lunch. He was tired of the hot dogs, so he asked my grandfather to go down to the butcher and pick up some scraps of meat. When my grandfather came back, Pat cooked it up on a hot dog roll. There was a cab driver who saw the sandwich and said, wow, that looks really great. Make me one. Pat told him he only had enough beef for one sandwich, so they split it. The cab driver said, that's terrific. You should stop selling hot dogs and sell these things. And that was the invention of the steak sandwich.
Okay.
The cheese really came up in the 1940s out of Pat's on Ridge Avenue. So Pat opened up a couple of different restaurants. Mm. The first cheese was a provolone cheese. Now, there's always some controversy as which cheese you want to have on there. Provolone, to me, that's the true original. We had a manager named Joe Lorenza, or Cocky Joe. He was always drunk, completely inebriated, wow, a waste of our time. But he was the first person to put cheese on the sandwich.
Oh, wow.
You know, he's telling the story. It's only a good Philadelphia Italian tell this story. He goes on to say, by the early 60s, Uncle Pat had moved out to Los Angeles. My father, my grandfather, and my cousin Herb, Pat's son, were operating the business. Around that time, Gino's came along. That was 1966. My grandfather and father bought this location. This is the one at 9th and Passyunk from Pat.
What? Passyunk. I love that for
it's
a street name.
It's a good Eastern Pennsylvania
yes,
name.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
So then it really became a Pat's Gino's thing. Now, the article also interviews the current owner of Gino's Steak, Joey Vento. Joey says, that guy across the street, he claims he invented the steak sandwich. I'll give him that. He claims he invented the Whiz. Okay, I'll give him that. All I did was come along and perfect it.
Nice. That's
they are very
great.
Territorial about
yes,
this out
are.
There.
Yeah.
He goes on to say, I've never changed my sandwich. So even with that guy across the street, I think I'm more authentic than he is. Ooh. He changed. His meat's different now. He's into the chopped meat thing. But the Philly steak needs to be really thinly sliced ribeye. That's how it started out.
I love how he won't even refer to the name. He say the guy across the street.
Yeah. I will say maybe I'm wrong on this one. I haven't done my homework. That is such an Italian thing.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't have to look up these guys having vowels in their names. That's a family. Like, I knew that right away.
Right,
that's,
right.
That's like a family. Like,
and yeah. Gino's is actually related to the families out there.
Yeah.
And
okay.
That's kind of his father. And it says this in the article. So I really encourage you to go look at this article.
Yeah.
His dad was imprisoned at age 36 for killing a guy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so definitely.
So
yeah.
He never saw his dad after his dad was 36.
Right.
His dad passed away 10 years later.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of those kind of. So there's, you know, when they talk about rivalry and ownership, that is inherent in this kind of relationship.
Amazing.
Oliveri then you know, talks about how the rivalry really got started. The real rivalry between Pats and Geno started as something that the media did, I think. I would say that it was probably as early as 1970, 1973, around there. We started getting publicity, and people would come down here, and it was exciting. And then the whole Rocky thing began in 1976. Mm-hmm. And the media would say, well, Pat's doing this. What's Geno going to do? You know, trying to start a fire. He goes on to say, Joe is arrogant, but not ignorant.
Wow.
The competition really keeps us going. Joe Vento is in plankton, and we are like, Joe Vento is like plankton, and we are like Krusty Krab. And he's trying to steal our recipe all the time. He'll fire employees, and then they'll come over here to our place and work here for a couple of weeks to find out what we do and how many we're selling, and then quit. And we play along because it's really no secret. And we sell 10 to 1. For every one sandwich he sells, I sell 10 more. Our baker was, until recently, the same baker, so I know how many we were selling.
It's so old, like old school rivalry. It's, you know, it's, oh, I love it.
To which Joe responds, oh, is that so? I say, put your money where your mouth is at. It was a hot dog cart that when you started it, and 70 years later, it still looks like a hot dog cart. So now we're going to the aesthetics, not just the food.
Oh, no, we got to get it. No, we're getting deep now, yeah.
So the article, like I said, actually interviews several owners and writers and politicians. It shares not only how Pat's and Geno's became the destination to visit when coming to the city, and celebrities and politicians who have visited. It shares about how other places throughout the city have picked up on this theme to make the sandwich available no matter where you're visiting in the city.
Nobody gets this more than sports and sports fans, mm-hmm. that how much a rising tide raises all boats, mm-hmm. and that rivalries are what our country's business is often built on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Competition, right? Yeah.
You look at whether we're talking cookie companies, cracker companies, like look at the history of any of these businesses or any of these inventions or anything, mm-hmm. and their popularity only rises if there's competition.
Absolutely.
Right. If they're the only game in town, it doesn't ever do that great, mm-mm. even just with one source. Mm-hmm. You need a rivalry. If you are, this is part of the reason why we're against monopolies. It's certainly because of the business aspect of it, and I'm not mm-hmm. going to go into details on that one, but I think that anybody can tell you that competition brings out the best in mm-hmm. all of us. Mm-hmm. There's nothing, any industry we can think of that really doesn't do that with. And with this, in this story, without these two, I don't know how they might feel about this,
right.
but without this rivalry, I don't know that Philly cheesesteaks are as famous as they become.
Probably not.
You ask people that were around for the Coke Wars, the Coca-Cola Wars, mm-hmm. and Pepsi mm-hmm. and Coca-Cola and stuff, and they will maintain that business made us, and we made each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So much of that. Look at the rise of the car companies, mm-hmm. and how, you know, when we were kids, not everybody knew every car company name. Mm-hmm. By now, everybody knows every car company name.
Right.
Because
right.
of the competition. It's such a kind of a cool thing. I also hope, like, one of my favorite things about competitions and rivalries is the story of the Bears and the Packers. And how all these decades and years they were fighting each other and everything. And what a lot of fans didn't realize is that George Halas and Vince Lombardi were best friends. And that they got this better than anybody. Mm-hmm. Wrestling and kayfabe. And how two wrestlers have the greatest rivalry, but they're actually like best friends. And mm-hmm. they have coffee together and their families yep. have no mm-hmm. They go on vacations together. I don't know if these two have any of that. But I would love to know. I would love to know if they do. If a little bit behind the scenes there's this little like wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Right.
Thing.
Well, some of their comments, it sounds very much like they yeah. understand this is part of the game,
at
right?
At least they get the mm-hmm. game.
At least they get mm-hmm. what they're supposed to do, right?
Yep.
And because of it, they're both successful.
Right.
So, yeah.
And like different products that are out there in sports teams, you have loyalty to the one that you love. Mm-hmm. And that's the same with Pats yeah. and Geno's. There are people that would die on the hill of yes. which one is actually
I'll never
better.
Go over there. Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
In my father's opinion, because he's actually been to these two places, he says the ones in Bethlehem are just as good. So, you know, there is something to say, I got a cheesesteak at the place yes, where it
exactly.
started. So the next time you're in the Philadelphia area, head on over. See what mm-hmm. you know and let us know. Let us know which one tastes better and which one you
like. Which you like better. That's cool.
So there may be debate as to which one's better, but there is no debate about how we can highlight your business when you choose to sponsor this segment. In addition to us having you mentioned during our segment, we can arrange an interview or even broadcast live from your business.
If you're interested in partnering with us, just give us a call at 715-424-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley to work out all the details.
That number again, 715-424-1300.
And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yes. Very nice. Very nice.
That was a good one. That was a good one. And you can easily go back home, Beth. You can wave some pride. Yeah. You represent it. Thank you, Beth. We appreciate
you. Thank you.
Beth will be back next Monday with another edition of The Kitchen's Open. Be on the lookout for that, everybody. And, of course, check out the newsletter. She has a great segment in there about that as well. Mm-hmm. Be sure to sign up for the WFHR newsletter at WFHR.com. We'll be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR. Seth and James here with you. Hope you're having a great Monday out there. Big shout out to Beth Habhager in The Kitchen's Open.
Mm-hmm.
Nice work, Beth.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a good one.
I love when she gets these topics and I get to learn things as we're going along.
It's fabulous, yes.
I don't learn much about food, though, so I feel like with the Kitchen's Open segment over the years, that's one of the ones I generally have learned quite a bit in that segment. It's a lot of fun.
Very cool.
We're looking forward to diving into some entertainment news. I do want to touch on a story real quick. Part A, Part B will be during Playmakers today. Join us from 5 to 6. We'll get more into it then. We'll be taking your sports thoughts and feelings. Certainly talking about our Lady Badgers winning it all. I'm wearing my Badgers hockey jersey today in honor of the Lady Badgers. We'll talk about that, of course, March Madness. And we'll talk about one of the kings of the ring, George Foreman. As you've probably heard by now, boxing legend George Foreman passed away on Friday. He was 76. There is no word on the cause of passing. We'll, again, get more into this later, but certainly if we're going to talk about George Foreman, not just as a boxer, but an entrepreneur, a businessman.
Entrepreneur is, I think, the perfect word for it. That's what he was. And man, was he successful at that.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's wild. It's always interesting to me when we lose people to see. It's not just seeing like other boxers come out and talk about him or something like that. It's seeing like people that you never expected to come out of the woodworks and talk about him. Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of that with George Foreman. And every single John Cusack, one of my favorites. Him and his family, a couple blocks away from where my family grew up, so he's one of my guys. He came out with a really long post about this. Like, I would have never thought those two were in the same room together.
That's interesting.
But apparently they ran into each other a couple of times, and Cusack was talking about how nervous he was around Foreman, such a larger-than-life human.
Right.
And how within 5 seconds, George just made you feel, you know, like he was anybody else, and just talking, and just the sweetest human being and everything. Again, we'll get more into it later during Playmakers, but as a family that, Ali is on a Mount Rushmore in my family, what Muhammad Ali accomplished, the person he was in it, and growing up in a boxing family. But my father would always go out of his way to talk about guys like Joe Louis and George Foreman and these other guys that really paved the way. And how, as much as he liked Ali, he always felt like it was wrong that George Foreman got turned into a villain in the Ali villain thing.
Yeah.
Because Foreman comes out, and he's Tyson before Tyson. Like, nobody had him beating Lewis. I watched that fight this weekend, and thank God it's still, like, we can watch these things. It's so cool. I watched the Joe Lewis Foreman fight, and nobody in the world, including Cosell, who's calling the fight, had Foreman. In boxing, you got to earn that.
Yeah.
You got to not only earn your title shot, you got to earn a second fight. You got to prove that you can hang with Joe Lewis in order to get that second fight.
Right.
Foreman wasn't waiting. He took the title.
He did.
He took it
to the
from
surprise
him.
Of everybody, right?
Just took it from him. And just such a like a design, like if you were going to design in a lab what a boxer should look like, young George Foreman, man. Everybody remembers him as an old man.
Yeah.
It's the young George Foreman that is just incredible to look at. Like, oh God, how did anybody ever beat this guy? You had to use rope-a-dope. You had to literally invent something new that the ring had never seen before to beat George Foreman.
Because of his build and just the way he could, I mean, and you're so right. It's so much of his skill gets lost in the Foreman, you know, oh, we remember him for, you know, that smiling face and the Foreman grill and all the commercials and all that stuff. And you realize, you forget, he was a tremendous boxer. I mean, he's probably in the upper echelon of all timers. He's got to be.
Top 10 all
time. He's got to be.
Top 10 all time.
Yeah.
There's no way you have a boxing list without George Foreman on it. I don't care if it's 5 or 10 names, you have George Foreman on it. You have a guy like you, 70 to 75%, maybe even 80% of the audience remembers exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Think about this as a career, as a life. Everybody that first gets to know George Foreman knows him as one of the most intimidating people on the planet. One of the most George Foreman never smiled in the ring.
No.
Even when he won, he wasn't smiling. Coming to the ring, coming out of the ring, none of that.
And very serious about what he was doing, right? Yeah.
Then the next half of him is nothing but smiling George. And George Foreman always named all of his kids George.
George. You know, that's fun.
That fun personality, yeah. George Foreman. What a fun guy. Wild to think of. You couldn't design that on paper. You couldn't come out and say, well, this is how my career is going to go. This is how my life's going to go. You would never be able to design that.
He had the kind of, and that's the one thing he had over like an Ali. Ali never had that kind of personality that would make him, you know, I mean, putting away the controversies and all that stuff. He never had that kind of personality that people were drawn to him. They were drawn to him because of his fighting. Yeah. The way he did it, and if you liked his causes, you were drawn to him that way. If not, you hated his guts, kind of thing. Who hated George Foreman?
Yeah.
Because he was that kind of personality. Very outgoing.
I'll get more into it later, but he will be missed in quite a life. So I actually think I was saying it last week and everything when I was talking about my top five of actors and everything that, Sidney Poitier, Cary Grant, they're the two best I've ever seen do it. Mm-hmm. But as far as our version of that and our generation, I hills I'll die on, Denzel Washington is the greatest actor of our generation. He's by far and away. It's not even close to me. I love Tom Hanks. I think that there's some amazing actors. Meryl Streep is one of the greatest of all time. But nobody tops Denzel for me. It's not even close. And yet, all that being said, I will never call him a Hollywood actor because he does not want to be called that.
Okay.
So, quote, what's the definition of a Hollywood actor? Myself, I'm from Mount Vernon. So I'm a Mount Vernon actor. I don't know what Hollywood means. Denzel considers himself, quote, a stage actor who does film. It's not the other way around. Mm. He says, quote, I did stage first. I made my bones on stage. Mm-hmm. That's what I'll always be. I learned how to act on stage, not on film.
Right.
This goes back to vaudeville. And seeing those classic early days actors and that they didn't learn film acting because there was no film acting. So the acting you saw was thespian theater acting. And that's why, to me, the greatest acting you'll see is oftentimes in those old school movies and TV shows and everything, because it was a different game back then.
Yeah.
What he's talking about here is to me the definition of this isn't difficult. What makes a good actor and a bad actor? A good actor can do it on stage. A good actor can do it with one take. You can give anybody 20,000 takes and they're going to get that line right eventually. But a real actor can do it on stage and do it live. And this is, it kind of goes back to that a little bit.
You can be a good stage actor and still be a very, very good film, television, camera actor, whatever you want to call it, right?
Oh, yeah.
Much harder to go the other way. Yeah. If you've started out in films, in television, and you try to do the stage, I mean, sure, plenty have done it. I'm not saying you can't, but it's a lot harder to go from that one to the other one.
I would never say Julia Roberts is a bad actor. She's good. She's very good at acting on film, in TV. Yep. She's proven she can't do it on stage, you know? So that just kind of, you know, it changes it for me a little bit.
Kind of shows that for, right.
Denzel is currently on Broadway doing Othello with Jake Gyllenhaal. They recently broke a Broadway record for a single week box office gross. There are some clips out there of this. My God, if you get a chance to watch it, watch it.
With Shakespeare. Shakespeare. Now, Othello is one of his greatest plays, but I get it. It's Denzel. It's Jake Gyllenhaal. Two tremendous actors. But still, breaking records with Shakespeare, man.
That's pretty impressive.
I love it.
They do a very interesting version of it, too.
I'm sure I'd be very curious to see that.
Give anything to see
that.
Oh,
man.
And I wanted to touch on something else real quick here, because our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater are currently in the works of building their newest, their final main stage production of the season, Noises Off. A shout out to the crew and everybody involved with that one. We also want to shout out our friends over at Central Wisconsin Area Community Theater, our friends at CWAC. We got a lot of our friends over there that have joined us on these airwaves and have joined us on stage many times. And one of those people that you and I both love and appreciate very much, Mr. Steve Martin, hosts an awesome event, Final Fridays, Spring into Improv. It's coming up this Friday, 7 o'clock social, 7:30 will be games. It's free, BYOB. This is an adult kind of fun thing to do, so you don't want to bring the kids
necessarily. Yeah, this is not for kids, yeah.
But if you love improv, if you love to support local and have a good
time. If you want
time,
to participate.
Join them at the Shack. Oh, yes, and if you want
anyone to participate. Anyone
can participate, you. Yes. Yeah. You want to meet them at the Shack at 2952 Minnesota Avenue in Stevens Point. Be sure to check that out and check out all the cool things that they're doing over there at CWAC.org. CWAC.org. Appreciate all of our good friends over there. And have a great time. Have a good run. Yep. Make sure to check out their main stage productions as well. Don Quixote they're doing over there.
Yeah, that's an interesting version, too. I'm curious about that.
I'd like to see that. We will take a look at our news and sports and entertainment and all that coming up, and then we'll be back and we're going to talk about, want to get, well, actually, two stories, Seth. McDonald's has been dethroned as the world's largest fast food chain. We'll get into that.
Wow.
And would you like to get paid to watch pet movies? That's coming up for you as well on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. A little nostalgic, this one.
Yeah.
It gets me back there. We got some fun stuff to get into. We're going to talk about would you like to get paid to watch pet movies in a moment. Okay. But I thought this topic was a big one, and I was a little surprised we didn't hear much about this. McDonald's is no longer the largest restaurant chain in the world.
Wow. That is impressive. I never thought that would happen in my lifetime, for sure.
Same. Mixu Big Chang is a Chinese bubble tea and ice cream chain with more than 45,000 restaurants worldwide as of September of 2020.
Wow.
While the number of McDonald's restaurants all over the world is around 41,000, according to the statistics of Via Chowhound.
Chowhound.
And the whole reason I'm doing this article is so I can say Chowhound. Asia-based fast food chain is known for selling soft serve ice cream cones for 1 yen. That's 15 cents. And drinks are very cheap over it as well. So there's that. So that might be part of the help with the locations. Despite its huge number of locations, 90% of them are in China. There are also outlets in Indonesia, Venice. There isn't a single location in the United States, and yet it is still the biggest one in the world.
That gives you an idea it's, you know, I guess the United States isn't the only place that has places like that these days. And that's interesting. Although bubble tea in the United States has gotten more popular. It's starting to spring up here and there. So, yeah.
That's where I wanted to wrap. Do you think that this could get big here? Do you think that we could see these here? You know, this particular chain or just a chain like it?
I think so.
Selling, you know, because this is not my wheelhouse. I don't know much, if anything, about the bubble drinks that they're serving or whatever and everything. Some of it sounds interesting. You know, bubble tea and ice cream. So I'll have the ice cream.
The ice cream, definitely. Bubble tea is I've had it. It's pretty good, but it depends, I think, on how much you like tea to begin with. So
yeah, probably. But interesting story nonetheless. Let's take a look at this one. Are you an animal lover? Are you a movie lover? Would you like to combine the worlds? Because this could be a deal for you. ESA Doctors is an organization that helps people with issues related to emotional support animals, and they want to pay you $1,000 to watch pet movies. If you're one lucky winner, that is. If you get the gig, you will watch 5 movies about pets and their owners for over a 72-hour period. Then you'll document your reactions and create a blog post about how Hollywood portrays animals' effects on mental well-being of humans. Huh. Sounds like they picked the movies, but there are open suggestions. They did list several possibilities. Those include All Dogs Go to Heaven, Beethoven, Air Bud, The Secret Life of Pets,
Air Bud,
Scoob, and How to Train Your Dragon. So, just real quick side note here. And I don't make light of any mental health issues, and I do not make light of mental support animals. Mm-hmm. I think that it's one of the cooler things we do in society. They have so many levels and so many added benefits. Again, pets being there for us and doing such mm-hmm. amazing things. If it's been an option this whole time to have a a dragon as your mental support animal, Yes, I want my dragon now. I would like it to look like Toothless from How to
Train
Your
Dragon. There you go. Yeah,
it's a cool looking dragon, man. I've never seen one of those movies, but that dragon looks really cool to me.
Honestly, that's something of a weird list because and maybe it's for a reason they didn't pick like Old Yeller.
Yeah.
Or what's that one, the more recent one where the dog dies at the end? Owen Wilson.
Yes, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, but I can't remember the name of the film.
I
wonder why they didn't put those on there.
I can't think of the movie you're talking about, but I remember distinctly the girl I was dating at the time was a huge, like, loved animals more than people. Mm-hmm. And she wanted to see that movie. And I just off the cuff said, well, you know how it ends. I mean, do you really want to see it? You know how it's going to end and everything. And I was trying to warn her because she really didn't like movies like mm-hmm. that. And she got so mad at me when it ended exactly how I told you it was going to end. Like, I mean, come on.
Wait a minute. Why? The little transference there.
I mean, just how do you not do? Yes, yes. When it comes to these movies, I don't like what they're trying to get across. I like the idea of trying to document and trying to figure out, hey, one, how does Hollywood portray this? Do they do a good job of
it?
Do they do an accurate job of it? And two, just trying to find out more ways that we can, find benefits to this.
Mm-hmm.
But the movies they chose, how does Air Bud do that? How does that?
That's a movie about a dog that plays basketball. Yeah. You're right. I'm not sure how that. Yeah.
I'm not sure. Teach their own, I guess. And maybe they do have a lot more to this than I realize. I don't know.
Maybe we learned something now about animals in films. And maybe all those villains that had the cat or the whatever.
Yes.
Maybe it's an emotional support animal. Maybe, maybe villains are just misunderstood. Maybe that's what it is. They're wanting to take over the world. It's just a cry for help. That's all it is. It's a cry for help.
I've immediately met. What was the guy? I don't remember the villain's name. But Inspector Gadget.
Oh my God! The Claw.
The Claw.
The Claw. It was Claw. Name and his cat. Yeah.
I love the idea of it. And he ends the conference call. Dang you, Gadget. He never got Gadget.
So no, he never did.
He would pet his cat afterwards. He needed that cat. That cat had nothing to do with helping him like take over the world.
No,
it was just emotional support animal for every time he failed trying to get Inspector Gadget.
That's all it was, all along.
Dr. Strange, the Bond villain.
Yeah, Blofeld.
Blofeld.
He had a cat.
Same thing. I mean, you'd be pretty depressed, too, if every time you tried to beat this guy, they made a movie about it.
I know.
Like, every time.
Again,
you never
with
see
the Bond.
You never see the movies where Blofeld wins.
No,
it's going to be pretty emotionally taxing. You need a cat. You need an animal.
Oh, my goodness.
You've got it, man. You nailed that.
See, I figured it out. I
never thought
all of these years, we just didn't know.
I also, and as much as I love animals, and I came to loving animals late, I didn't grow up with them or anything like that, I was a little surprised that I've not seen one of these movies.
Really?
I don't know if there's ever been a time we've done a movie subject, and there's not one of these movies I've seen. I will say my dad keeps telling me The Secret Life of Pets is hilarious. Mm-hmm. He told me I should see that one.
Okay.
But I never saw
a cartoon, though.
All Dogs Go to Heaven. I was a little older when that came out, so I wasn't watching cartoons. I didn't see Beethoven or Air Bud. I haven't seen Scoob. And my father loves those How to Train Your Dragon movies, but I've never actually seen them.
Right.
I know Gerard Butler's the voice of the dad in them, not because I looked it up, but because as soon as I heard that voice, I'm like,
That's Gerard Butler.
I didn't even have to look it up. As a side note, they're doing a live action How to Train Your Dragon, and it's still Gerard Butler playing the dad. I thought that was kind of cool. I thought that was smart
really
that they did it that way.
My son has not watched any of the movies, but he's read all the books.
Oh, cool.
So I don't know if he's interested in seeing the movies or not, but he really enjoyed, he loved the books, so.
Yeah, and now we off air kind of brought up an interesting one here. You wouldn't even have to pay me to do this. I'm already watching movies.
Sure,
and I would enjoy it. I think.
Yeah.
I think I'd enjoy the process, but I definitely enjoy getting paid to do it. But you,
no. If I see a movie that has like an animal as one of the lead characters, No.
Yeah?
Ever since I saw Benji, that was the last time I was interested in that.
Just not your thing.
You know, when I was a kid.
I wouldn't say I was surprised by this, but I was a little like, oh, okay. I didn't
know
that.
Nope, not interested. Yeah. No. Nope.
I'm not.
Free Willy? No, I'm not interested.
Shout out to the best callers in radio, Marley and me.
Marley and me. That's right.
Nicely
that's what
done.
It was. Thank
nicely
you.
Nicely done. Thank you for that. It was bugging me. It was bugging me. I couldn't think of which one it was. Yeah, that was that movie. I got really in trouble for that one. I don't know.
No fault of your own. You get in trouble for it.
I didn't know it was right. I didn't. I'm curious what other people think of this one. If you would like to apply for these movies, if you would like to do this, you can go to ESADoctors.com, ESADoctors.com.
Very interesting.
I think it would be interesting. I think it would be interesting.
Meanwhile, I'm going to watch all the villains with animals and see if my theory is correct.
I love that theory. Now, as a side note, and we'll keep this topic going, if you don't get a chance to call in or text in today, we can, of course, talk about it another time. But what is your favorite animal movie? What is your favorite movie with an animal in it, or an animal co-star, or a movie about animals? I think that's a fun topic. I think that's an interesting one. I want
to
hear from you
guys. I think you have to differentiate between cartoons
and
live action.
That's
because
a good way to do it,
cartoon animals are so cartoony. There's really not a good comparison there. So
that's a good one. That's a good difference maker.
Yeah.
I like that. I wanted to real quickly, Seth, remind everybody about this awesome text to win contest that we're doing right now. We just wrapped up one over on WIRI. A big shout out and thank you to everybody who helped us with that. That was a lot of fun. We of course want to talk about this one too, Seth.
Yes. This is the next statewide text to win contest that we're doing all through the Civic Media Network. And of course, we're doing this like ones we've done in the past. But if you're new to the station or the network, of course, we do four times a day at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. We give out a word. And what you need to do is take out the Civic Media app, download it if you've not done so already. Go to your favorite station, in this case, WFHR, and text through the app. And that's the only way you can do it. And make sure it's spelled right as well. They made some really easy words this time, though. So no heavy-duty spelling on this one.
Yeah.
And text in that word during the hour. It's got to be before the end of the hour. And you are qualified to win. So we have hourly prizes, including make sure I get this one right here. The hourly prizes are Chula Vista overnight stay or a pair of Brewers tickets, or $100 cash.
Yeah.
So we're alternating all of those prizes every hour that we do one of these, everyone. And the grand prize, which is fabulous, a $1,500 value, everybody. One Queen V3 medium plush mattress, one Queen bamboo sheet set, color of your choice, one Queen Slumber Shield mattress protector, Slumber Shield, I like that.
I like that.
And two Queen Rise Pillow Cloud Pillows. You're getting a whole new bed from our friends at Verlo. And that's so cool.
Man,
that is a great prize.
How'd you like to be doing your spring cleaning and be like, you know what, this old mattress, out of here.
Out of here.
Out of here. Throw it out there. Get a whole new set. That is pretty cool, along with some other amazing prizes. A big shout out to all of our sponsors, our sales team, our marketers out there putting this together.
Yep.
Keep on listening for those key words. Again, at the top of the 7,
11, 1, and 4.
Keep on listening for that keyword to text to us through the Civic Media app, everybody. Seth and I will be back to wrap up the show, morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR.
I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm coming home now right away. I'm coming home, baby, now. I'm sorry now I ever went away. Every night and day.
Seth and James here with you to take you to the top of the hour. Wrap up the show for Monday. Good show. Good show.
Yeah.
Good show. Bloody good show, everybody. Big thank you to our callers, to Beth in the Kitchen's Open, and everybody involved. We appreciate all of you out there. You know, the morning show doesn't have a sponsor.
Yeah. What's up with that?
We got sponsors of segments, but within, we don't really have
the thing,
an overall sponsor. I hadn't thought of that before. I'd just like to have your name, right? But the
right
morning
in front
show,
of, yes.
The morning show brought to you by Acme. You know?
Yeah, I mean, right.
Hey, you could be that business.
Hey.
Reach out and be a part of the team, everybody. And we got some great stuff lined up for you throughout the schedule today. Stick around. Matt and Air on Air coming up for you. Jane and Greg not only going to get your week kicked off well and take you to the noon hour, but we got that text to win word coming up.
So make sure you listen at 11 o'clock. That's your next chance, everyone, both here on WFHR and on WIRI.
A great, strong week of Midday Magazine is ahead of you. 4 to 5, join us every Monday through Friday, 4 to 5. Spread the word about the show, where we interview some of our great local people and talking about some of the more important events going on in our area, some of our fun events, and it's certainly doing something that we've done for a long time here. Behind the scenes, we have been Pam and I have been collecting interviews with our local candidates. I believe we've done about 13, 14 of them, something like that. We did send messages out to all of the local candidates, and the ones that got back to us and were able to work this out, we interviewed with. And I appreciate every single one of those candidates working with us and being a part of this. And we've been playing some of those interviews for you.
Yes,
today,
we
will have the remainder of these interviews.
Okay.
So Midday Magazine from 4 to 5 today. In part one, you're going to hear from Matt Fletcher, running for Port Edwards Village President, and Phil McLaughlin, running for Town of Rome Chairman.
Okay.
And then in part two, Craig Manka, who is running for Wisconsin Rapids School Board, and Troy Beer, who is running for Wisconsin Rapids School Board.
All right.
So those will be on the air for you today from 4 to 5. Be sure to catch all of our other interviews as well at civicmedia.us and go under shows, and you can find the complete list of interviews. Seth, want to remind everybody as well about a blood drive coming up.
Coming up,
around the corner.
Coming up next Monday, a week from today, everyone. March 31st, we can finally say goodbye to this month.
Yes.
And all the wacky weather. I hope April's better. Anyway, it's going to be at the former East Junior High School at 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids, of course. Just enter off of Lincoln Street, room 111. You can schedule your life-saving donation right now, 800-280-4102. That's 800-280-4102. Appointments are appreciated, but they are not required. You can walk in and see if they have any time for you. That's Monday, next Monday, the 31st, from 2 to 7 p.m. That is the time to head on over to the former East Junior High School.
And I want to remind everybody that American Heroes Cafe of Central Wisconsin, it will be open this Wednesday. Be sure to join them at 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church in Wisconsin Rapids. All area veterans, military, police, and firefighters are welcome. Greatly appreciate all the volunteers and all the people that get behind this one and help us be able to have a lot of fun here a lot of our locals to have a lot of fun in doing this. They do such a great job with this event. I encourage you to check it out and spread the word about this and make sure that all of our veterans, military, police, and firefighters know that American Heroes Cafe exists and that it is open this Sunday, this Wednesday, 7:30 to 9:30 over at Crossview Church. Wanted to get some other good stories, Seth. And one of them I wanted to talk about, we can touch more on it in Playmakers if you guys want to, but a group of guys in Georgia broke a world record on Friday with a basketball game that lasted five straight days.
Whoa!
121 hours and 3 minutes to be exact.
Wow.
And yes, they were allowed to sub in and out.
I would hope so.
They did get some breaks. They did it to raise money for a charity called MOST, or Men Opposing Sex Trafficking.
Ooh.
They say the stunt raised over $300,000.
Holy moly.
Over $300,000.
So you get not only a world record, you also do a great cause. Hey, that's awesome. Kill two birds with one stone.
For so long, the sex trafficking got away with a lot of what it did because people were afraid to say something or didn't want to, you know, stick their nose where it didn't belong, or were even afraid to say the words sex trafficking and getting, oh, we got to say it very quiet or something like that. And that's how that stuff has been around for as long as it has. Bring attention to it and finding different avenues to bring attention to this subject. Kudos. Well done. That's impressive. And to take the time to do something like that.
Yeah. 5 days, as a matter of fact.
Man, I love basketball. I love ball. I miss playing basketball like every day or whatever. No way I could do that. Not in my prime. No way I could do that.
That's an impressive feat.
A deer and her two fawns fell through the ice on a lake in Wisconsin last week.
Oh, no.
But police were able to save them with the help of a drone. The deer were 200 yards from shore and couldn't find their way back, so they used the drone to herd them in the right direction. All three made it out and ran off together.
That is something Wow.
Now, forgive me if I don't, if I'm not remembering this accurately or not, or if this is a part of this always. We've heard a lot of these stories of drones, and just recently here in our area, a drone saving one of our seniors out there.
Yeah, identifying people, right, and finding people, right?
I've never heard of them being able to kind of like shepherd dog them or anything like that. That's wild.
That is wild. Wow.
That's very impressive. That is pretty darn cool. And a British guy who loved making people laugh got to do it one more time after passing away at just 55.
Aww.
He told his family he wanted to be buried in a casket that looked like a Snickers bar. So they made it happen, and the Snickers in front and said, "I'm nuts." I don't know. I have a macabre and a darker sense of humor, sure. I admit. But I find it, I don't find many, there's not many things that are more funny to me than people taking this moment and trying to make their loved ones laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that my Nana was very adamant about. And it's part of the reason why at her funeral, I told my favorite story about her.
Yeah.
My Nana was one of the more intelligent, stronger people I'll ever know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to get a stain out of the rug, and me and my papa leave, and we come back a couple hours later, and she's still trying to get this stain out of the rug, and she looks up, or she's looking around, can't figure it out. I look up and see as I go over there that, oh, it's not a stain, it's her stained glass window or mirror coming, the light coming through and hitting the carpet, and she's trying to get that out. And I tell her this, deathly afraid of how she's going to react, and she falls down laughing at herself and calling her husband into the room. Jim, do you look at this? You got to be able to laugh at yourself.
Yeah, life. That's right.
You know, it's one of the greater punchlines you can give to people.
Yes.
That is hilarious.
Well, that is done. Good. Well done.
Wanted to tell everybody that our schedule coming up this week is going to include some great guests on Midday Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow we'll have Promise in the heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce.
Okay.
Jess from the Family Center.
Okay.
Wednesday we'll get an update from Lance Plum on the Wood County Board. We'll also have Wisconsin Rapids Community Media and to record with that.
Okay.
And at part two, we'll have the ODC.
Okay.
On Thursday, Family Natural Foods and UW Extension Jen McNally. And then on Friday, ADRC and Scouting America in part two.
Nice.
We haven't gotten to
good
do
mix.
That in a while. Pretty much no sports on the radio this week. So take it easy, Pam. But we will have playmakers. We will
lots of playmakers.
Monday, Wednesday, Friday, all week long, we will have playmakers. We're able to do that thanks to our friends at Quality Plus Printing and Family Natural Foods.
Mm-hmm.
And over the next couple of weeks, everybody, we are going to be doing this fun contest. We are having so much fun with these text to win contests.
Yep.
And we got Civic Media's Break in the Spring text to win contest up and down the state. Every time you text in, you're getting a chance to win and helping us with some bragging rights.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll be back with more show tomorrow right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.